This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Friday, August the 16th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SME News Today.
People with rare diseases know that the right government policies can make a big difference in quality of life for themselves and for their caregivers. But most lawmakers aren't experts in even one well-known disease, let alone the world's estimated 7,000 rare disorders. So how does the rare disease community help them decide what policies to adopt? One way is to survey patients and their caregivers about their needs. Then, results can be shared with officials so their decisions are based on facts. For the last 3 years, Eurodis Rare Diseases Europe has conducted the Rare Barometer program. They are a Paris-based alliance of more than 800 patient organizations. This program reports straightforward, reader-friendly analysis and colorful graphs and charts. More than 3,000 people, 60% of them patients, typically take part in these surveys. They represent about a third of the 10,000 patients, family members, and caregivers that are now in the Eurodis database. Now, a number of politicians have quoted the results of their surveys. The reports also help researchers understand how patients want to participate in trials while raising public awareness of rare diseases. Europeans make up the vast majority of the 10,000 people in the database. There's 1,400 from France, 1,000 from Germany, and 800 each from the UK, Spain, and Italy. The US is also represented. The database has strict privacy protection in place. All information is confidential, and it's only shared with the Rare Barometer team. They also collaborate with universities who are conducting similar studies. For example, they are teaming up for a survey with Cardiff University in Wales. To ensure the widest possible dissemination of results, Rare Barometer publishes its surveys and reports in 23 languages. And while it covers all rare diseases rather than selected ones, the team will publicize findings for a certain disorder if it is requested. It also will break out results by country, age, and other factors. The team conducts 2 to 3 surveys per year. One in 2017 focused on the day-to-day challenges of rare disease patients and their caregivers. The biggest challenge they find is that patients visit multiple different healthcare, social service, and local support facilities in a short time period. Other challenges include mental health issues and achieving a balance between work and family life. A 2018 survey on attitudes of rare disease patients towards participating in testing showed that 37% of people with rare diseases have participated in research. The main reason for participating is the excellent working relationship that they develop with the researchers. They also want to help scientists discover treatments and therapies. And patients see a lack of public funding as the main obstacle to research on rare diseases. A number of members at Eurodis consider the surveys a great awareness-building tool. They often put Rare Barometer graphs and charts on their websites or social media. They've found that these surveys have even comforted patients. A British woman with a rare disease that had lost her job didn't feel so alone knowing that other people were in similar situations.
Coming up next, perspectives from SME News Today Community Development Manager, Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer. August 13th, 2019. I've been an active member of the SMA community for years, but one of my fondest memories from any SMA conference took place last year in Dallas, Texas. As I chatted with my friend Doug, another friend's 5-year-old daughter joined our conversation. Her curiosity was limitless, and she immediately began to fire questions at Doug with the spirit of an eager schoolchild. She wanted to know if Doug was someone's parent, or maybe a friend who was passing through. Yet, when Doug told her that he was attending the conference because he had SMA, A blank expression appeared on the girl's face. She was perplexed, and Doug and I both knew why. I could practically read her mind in this scenario. How could this man have SMA? He can walk. Indeed, Doug is an ambulatory adult who has SMA type 3. To this young girl, whose younger brother with SMA uses a power wheelchair, Doug looked very different from every other person she knew with SMA. He explained to her that he had a milder case of the disease, and as such, could still walk. This revelation initially surprised her, but then she calmly accepted this information and proclaimed it to the rest of her family. "He has SMA," she told her mom matter-of-factly as she pointed at Doug, who then laughed. As Yoda declares in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, "Truly wonderful, the mind of a child is." I never thought I would use a quote from that movie in a column. I'll always remember this conversation because it perfectly captures how diverse and unique the SMA community is. We may have the same neuromuscular condition as it's described in medical journals, but the way that SMA affects us varies significantly from person to person. Some people in this community can walk, while others roll around in high-tech Mad Max machines. Some have a good level of upper body strength, while some of us can't lift a fork off a table. Instead, we have robotic arms to do things like that. It's not just about our physical abilities, though. SMA affects us in different ways emotionally and mentally, so people in the community have different mindsets. We don't see eye to eye on every issue, whether it's something like medical advancements or media representations of people with disabilities. We often have different opinions, and that's okay. Society has a tendency to group people with disabilities under one banner, as if we're just clones of each other. "Hey, I know someone else in a wheelchair. The two of you should date." The reality is that within various disability communities, and specifically within the SMA community, we are individuals. We are part of a strong community, but we have differences that make each one of us unique. As you may have noticed on Instagram and other social media platforms, August is SMA Awareness Month. This is a special time for us to educate others about what life with SMA is like, and to foster an atmosphere of acceptance and understanding. Plus, we have fun posting about our awkward interactions with strangers. To recognize SMA Awareness Month, I'm proud to help oversee 31 Days of SMA. This project, which runs on SMA News Today throughout the month of August, is designed so people in this community can share their stories and write about the different ways that SMA affects them. Already, we've had people write about travel, employment, confronting a diagnosis, and many more topics. Even as an SMA veteran, I learned something new from reading each of these stories. I may have lived with the same disease for all of my life as well, but my story is not the same as the next person's. We are a strong, unified community, but there is a beautiful diversity within that unity. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Community Development Manager for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.